This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd, brought to you by Geek Garage, geek-garage.com. It is time for another very special episode. It's episode 231, the return of the TNA show. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing. I think I was talking to my wife about this. That in this period of time, like, is a really loaded question. Because if you answer it how you normally answer, like, how are you doing? Oh, I'm okay. Like, why the fuck are you okay? why aren't you upset right now?
I'm trying to remember what comedian I was listening to recently. I think that's one of the few things that I find any, like, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and stand-up and, like, comedian-based stuff just to try and get something that's, like, keeps me sane, where you can talk about the topics and still be funny. But one of them was talking about this period of time where they were like, I'm upset that I can't remember. They're like, they were saw someone they knew and like, hey, how you doing? They're like, good. And then they like stopped and thought about it for a minute. And it's like, no, I lied just now. I'm not good at all. I don't know why I said that.
Like, but you have to, you can't
you're conditioned to say it.
Right. The question, how you doing when you just start talking to somebody is not, you know, in most situations, that's not really what they mean. What they mean is, hi, hello, I acknowledge your presence here in this conversation. And you, so your response can't be, well, let me tell you about the state of the world right now and how I'm processing and dealing with all of that craziness. But that's what it feels like it should be. So that's a long way to say, I'm good, Tyler. How are you, buddy?
Yeah. Ça va? Oui, ça va. We're not really, we're exchanging pleasantries. Not to bring everything, not to everybody started on the downer, but yeah, I don't know that anyone is good. I'd be concerned about you if everything right now was good for you. I don't know.
But we're here to make it a little bit better.
Here's hoping. Maybe we can do something to make it better.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think, let's see, like I'm sure there are some good and amazing things that have happened recently. I don't know what they are, but I'm sure we can find a list here somewhere. We have a new Last of Us game that we've been waiting for an insanely long time. I have not started it yet because I've been working the last like 3 or 4 days, but I'm going to start it within the next 48 hours. You, I assume, have probably started it.
Buddy, your boy's put in some time.
Okay.
Put in some work.
What do we think so far?
I'm enjoying it. So the story is told in a slightly different way than what you get in Last of Us 1. There's some back and forth. You get some, not time travel, but you get some plenty of flashbacks that you play through a little bit. They're not full playthroughs, but you get things to do in them. And they're, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes or so, kind of giving you this backstory that you need as you go through. It's really, I enjoy it. They're beautiful, beautiful games. The first one was gorgeous on the PS3, and when they remastered it and released it on the PS4, still looked great. This one looks fantastic. Gameplay, just what you'd want it to be. I mean, it's a Naughty Dog game, so if you played the Uncharted's or the previous Last of Us, it's similar enough to that. You'll pick it up and play it, no problem. I don't know. It's good. It's certainly, if you've looked up reviews for it, it's going to be better than what the user reviews say it is. I don't know if it'll be as good as the critics' reviews say it is, but it's definitely going to be better than the user reviews say it is.
So yeah, to bring that, like, I mean, obviously I think that's the, almost any article you, if you search Last of Us online, you're going to get two types of articles. You're going to get reviews for it because it just came out. And the reviews for the most part have been exceptional. Like, I think it's a 95 on Metacritic right now. I think I've read one review that wasn't so much negative as it was just kind of like, it found the movie a little bit oppressive and dark, which I think for some people just doesn't really work right now, because it's not a bright story. Like, there's nothing nothing bright and shiny in this movie, in this game.
Right.
There wasn't anything in the first one. Like, there was some moments of quiet, you know, beauty, but it's all dark and violence all the way down.
Oh yeah, no. So playing it, my wife's watching and she's cried twice from, like, not the darkness, but like the little bits of beauty and glimmer that they do place throughout their stories to give you something. There's been two parts that have made her cry so far. So, I mean, it is a fantastic story. It's really quite good in that regard. Yeah.
But the other type of article you will find is, as is want to happen anymore when gamers with a capital G are involved, is it has been, for lack of a better word, review bombed. Within hours of it going live on websites, it had amassed a plethora of zero reviews, complaining about everything from the plot to this to that to mostly we're real upset that I give up anymore. Like, we've spent a lot of time on this website making fun of people who, you know, just exist to be angry at things and exclude people and feel as if something has, and like, I feel like the gamers as an oppressed people is started as like a meme, but now people have like taken it seriously, and at this point it's passed into just full on like, what the seriously? I don't even have time.
Oh yeah.
Right. I don't have I don't have the time, the space in my head to deal with you right now. But
well, what I love is, like, you know, so the big issue is the main character of Last of Us 2, and one of the main characters of Last of Us, Ellie, is she's a lesbian. She loves women, which doesn't seem like it should cause any major issues. This is not a, you know, it's not a real person. She is a video game, and it is not even a terribly large part of the story. Like, I mean, it's definitely not a game trying, like, of her trying to fight oppression as a lesbian woman and find acceptance or anything like that. Like, there's a little bit at the beginning.
Literally just a thing about her.
Where they mention it? Right.
She has brown hair. She has brown hair and blue eyes, and she likes girls.
Right. It's exactly the same thing. If you're raging about her being a brunette instead of a blonde.
I just don't like this forced diversity. Just put it in our throats. It's virtue signaling gone wild. SJ. I can't. I literally can't.
It's even so crazy. Right. There's a million games that you can play. If that's really a problem for you,
there are plenty of games full of straight white dudes you can play right now. Like, right, yeah. Just skip this one. Just skip this one.
But don't, because it's really freaking good. Yeah, and well, I mean, I guess is there a problem that, you know, the main character is not Joel? Like, is this series so beloved by these, you know, these people that would be that upset by it that they have to rally against it?
No, I don't know.
It doesn't seem like it is. So it's very bizarre to me. I don't get it at all.
Any game now that does not star a badass heterosexual dude or a super over sexualized woman is a direct attack on their very people. Like, it is oppression of the worst kind. They are the most oppressed people in our society today. Gamers with a capital G. They are fighting back now.
Speaking of characters, the character models in this game are unbelievable. Like, they look so good. I mean, it takes place in Seattle, so you get a lot of like rain and weather and stuff like that going on, and then periods of sunlight. And so they're dealing with a lot in the character models themselves, and they look really, really good. And there's a girl who is just yoked. Like, every time she's on the screen, my wife is just, she's so strong. Yeah, she is jacked, and they don't hide it at all. It's fantastic. It's great. They look, like I said, the game looks absolutely unbelievable, and they've built in parts. Ellie keeps a journal in this one, so you can like go over and like look out on these vistas that they build in the Pacific Northwest, and it just, oh man, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm excited to play it. I've seen some clips here and there. I've tried to keep away from spoilers because I've heard there's some pretty big big plot points early on, then it there's like goes some places. So I don't want to know, but I am excited to. I am excited to dig in. Hopefully, over the next couple of days. So,
I'm expecting some very interesting text messages from you in the next few days. Then,
fair enough. Fair enough. It's good. So, Project Nerd recommends it. Unless you are a fragile white gamer, then maybe just go play literally any other video game ever made. So that's fun. I don't know. That wasn't as bright as I was hoping it'd be. We got to do better than that. Anything else that's cool and amazing happening in the world?
Well, like you, I mean, you pointed to it. Laura and I were watching, I forget what we were watching. We watched something that was like deeply disturbing on TV. And I was like, well, this is good because when I start playing Last of Us, that'll be a pick me up compared to this. Because like you said, it's not sunshine and rainbows.
There's nothing good. Nothing good. No.
The other thing I've been doing this week leading up to that was watching Dark. So the third season of Dark is hitting Netflix. I'd watched the first two, really, really enjoyed it. German TV or German show. You can use subtitles if you feel like listening to German, which I think is way better than the dub pretty much always, but they've got it dubbed also on Netflix. Seasons 1 and 2 are on there now. Season 3 comes out, I think it's next week.
Subs forever.
Oh, it's so good. It's such a good TV show, and it is crazy. It is crazy. I really, really like it.
I will say that I finally found, and I still don't like them most of the time, but on some shows I have finally found a purpose for the subtitles. I mean, for the dubbed version of things, and that is now that I'm spending a significant more time at home doing a lot of multitasking, I can watch something that's dubbed while doing other things, which you cannot do with subtitles. You have to focus.
No, yeah, we were watching.
The number of times I have inadvertently, while not thinking about it, started something that I like watching that has subtitles, and then about 5 minutes in realized I have no idea what's going on because I can't, I have to focus on that screen and not do other things is probably not great. Still, we were watching the subtitle version.
Yeah, we were watching an episode tonight while eating dinner, and you know, they like, been down to take a bite of something and you look back up and my wife missed a complete scene, just everything about it, didn't even realize that it happened because it wasn't a very long scene, it was only like 10 seconds, but it's pretty important. And she happened to be taking a bite and we were talking about the episode afterwards and she's like, wait, when did that happen? I'm like, what do you mean when did that happen? It was like right in the middle of everything, they were talking and everything, it was great. And she's, oh well, I missed that. Yeah, well, that's what you get for trying to eat dinner.
What you get for not learning German.
I mean, it seems like an extreme. It's a good TV show. I don't know if it's good enough to learn German for, but more power to you if you do it.
Okay, you're fair. That's fair. I have seen Dark Season 1. I really enjoyed it. I have not gotten around to 2, but now the trailers and the buzz for Season 3 has made me want to go back and start over and go all the way through again. So I'm probably going to have to do that.
Do it.
We've talked about this, like not watching much because of like the amount of time I'm spending at home. I don't know if it's just like finding the motivation or feeling like you're wasting time when you're sitting and binging things. I have found that quarantine has made me, while it still annoys me at times, I am now significantly more on board with shows still doing the weekly model. Specifically, like right now I'm watching Harley Quinn season 2. Comes out every Friday. We're one episode away from the end. And it's, I kind of like in this weird, like, I don't know what day it is anymore. It's kind of cool to have like appointment television again, be like, oh man, I'm looking forward to Friday because I'm going to get a new episode of Harley Quinn, as opposed to like blowing my load all in the first, like in one afternoon. It's like for 13 weeks, I get the new episode and it's kind of awesome. It's like something right to look forward to. Also super depressing that I realized that we're about to hit 13 weeks, and I'm pretty sure I started this well into isolation. So that's not great. But like that, I will say that is something that I am now, I would feel like if it's good, I'm more likely to watch it if you have to give it out to me piece by piece. It's actually working for me. It's appointment. I'm looking forward to it. I'm like, oh man, Friday, I'm going to get new Harley Quinn. I didn't do that as much with The Mandalorian. I wanted all of that, partially because it was so good, but also partially because we weren't in this world that we're in now. But I feel like I'm having trouble keeping track of the days. It's nice to have something to set my clock by other than, you know, the clock. So that was cool.
Are you doing that with Snowpiercer? Have you been doing that one?
I haven't been doing Snowpiercer yet. I really want to start it, but I just haven't found the time yet. We were talking about this before we got on the air, but there's so much content out there and there's so much stuff getting pushed to streaming, movies especially getting pushed out there and then all that. I'm now have gotten lost. Like there's so much stuff that I had already not was planning on getting to that I've now forgotten about because new stuff has come out. But I'm currently subscribing to Netflix, Amazon Prime, HBO, CBS Anywhere, Hulu. I don't know, is it CBS Anywhere, Anytime, whatever. The CBS.
CBS All Access?
All Access. CBS All Access, Hulu, Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, and DC Universe, DC Unlimited. Is that eight? Eight streaming different services that I currently subscribe to. And new stuff comes out on all. Now, I will say, like, Disney Plus, I'm not paying for. I got that free with my cell phone plan. I'm not paying for Apple TV Plus. I got that free with my phone. I am 100% paying for all the other ones, though. And I've started to lose track now of like what's on what and what to watch and like which show is that? Do I have that service? What service is that on? And now there's HBO Max, which I don't get because I subscribe to HBO through Amazon, so I didn't get free Max. So if I want Max, I now have to subscribe to that too. Then there's the Quibi, whatever that is out there now that fell real flat, real fast. Like that was probably the worst launch ever. And you would think that like maybe, I don't know. I think quarantine maybe wasn't good for it. Like if people were still having to like commute and sit in.
Oh yeah. You need that short, you get that half hour lunch break.
You would think quarantine would be the best time to launch a streaming service. As it turns out, maybe not when your whole thing is based around 5-10 minute episodes.
Right.
Because I think HBO Max has done fine other than the fact that how many people are
stuck into their HBO Go plan for paid up front for the year or whatever.
And so yeah. Well, and also like
Max or whatever.
So you have HBO Go, you have HBO Now, you have HBO Max, you have HBO. They cut it down now. Well, because like HBO Now and HBO Max. So HBO Go and HBO Now are basically the same. It's just one was like you were subscribing to it only digitally, and one of them was digital version. Go is just the mobile
version of your HBO subscription.
Whereas Now was subscribing to.
Right. You don't have cable. You just get HBO.
Yes.
And now they got Max, which is
their seems stupid to have two names for that, but cool, whatever. So they don't anymore. They've changed that.
Right.
But HBO Max, I'm looking at some of the stuff they're gonna get, especially a lot of. Their draw right now is obviously they went out and bought the rights to a lot of old stuff that people want. Like, I know people – I mean, they're 100% people I know will 100% subscribe to HBO Max just so they can watch The Office over and over and over and over again. So, I mean, like, that'll be a thing. But at the same time, like, they're getting shows. But now I've lost track of, like, you hear about these shows or you hear about them when they're in production. Then you know they're going to come out. You forget what services are on. And then they show up on the service. And then you put it on the list of things. But you have 15 other things that you were still trying to get to. And then you just don't ever do it.
Well, we've run into the cable and satellite problem, right? Right. So, like, growing up, we're old enough that, you know, when you had cable, that meant you got, what, 60 channels instead of, like, 5 or 6 if you didn't have cable and you're just pulling it off the rabbit ears or the antenna at the top of your house or whatever it was. And then that number like drastically exponentially went up. You know, you had 200 channels or 400 channels, and then satellite came out and you had 600 channels because you had the 300 channels that the cable people got, but you got East Coast and West Coast versions of them for some reason in case you missed something the first time through. Which when my parents had satellite, I would totally take advantage of that. I'm like watching, flipping through the channels. I'm like, oh damn it, this is halfway over, and go down, check the guide. I'm like, oh, it starts in another 45 minutes. I'm good. Right. Yeah. Whatever. I'll just watch it there. But you ran into, there was so much that it's whatever it is, choice,
like paralysis.
Choice paralysis. Right. There's just too much to choose from. And so you end up, screw it, I'm just going to watch something I've seen 18 times before. And you're like, why are you watching this? Haven't you seen this before? It's like, yeah, I have, but I like it and it's easy and I don't have to think about it. If I have to make a choice between the 87 other things that I could be watching, I can't figure out what to do.
I will also say that my and I don't like this about myself, but I would say my patience slash my attention span now for things that don't get me immediately has gone down significantly because of how many other things are out there. Like, which is dumb. Like, I like a slow burn. Like some of my favorite shows of all time don't get good until like three quarters of the way through. I shouldn't say don't get good, but don't like really start to move until three quarters of the way through the first season. You think of something like something that's like generally considered to be one of the greatest television shows of all time, like The Wire. That TV show is written like a novel. Like, you can watch the first like five or six episodes and it doesn't feel like literally anything happens. But at the same time now, with like so many options, so many things going on, trying to do things at once, if I sit down and start a streaming show and like within the first episode or first half of the first episode, I'm just kind of like, meh, I'm not really feeling it. There's a really good chance I will never come back and watch it unless someone else is like, no, you have to get to this episode. That's where it gets good. And it doesn't have to be great. It just has to have something that makes me want to watch the next one. And there's plenty of shows out there that I've started and been like, meh. And then people are like, oh no, this is great. And I was like, yeah, I watched like one episode and I just wasn't working for me.
Oh man. Can I tell you about how that's me in Breaking Bad?
Oh really?
Like everybody's like, oh man, don't you love Breaking Bad? I'm like, nah, I watched the whole first season and I was just like, I didn't care.
Didn't do it for
anything that was going on. Like, oh, wait till season two starts and it gets really good. I'm like, nah, I made it through the whole first season, like 8 episodes. And it was just like,
that was,
guys are making meth now, I guess.
That was Mad Men for me for a long time. Like, I've since gone back and just did it and I'm worth it. It was worth it. I love it. But there was other things on AMC at the time that I was so much more into that I was like, there was this one called Rubicon on AMC that was like this weird intelligence, like spy thing that was really good. It lasted one season, got canceled, and no one was watching it, but everyone was, you know, watching the other shows. They'd be really upset. But yeah, that's, yeah, that's happened to me. It's happening to me more and more where I'll just start a show like, nah, I'm not going to do it. Not going to stick with it.
I can understand that. I'd say mine's worse than that. I won't even start them. Like, if it doesn't jump out at me, I'm just like,
oh, wow.
I'm off. I'm out. I'm doing something else.
And it's just like finding the energy. Like, there's shows that I loved the first season of and that the second season has come out now. And I just still have yet to like find the energy to be like, oh, let's do this now. Like, I want to watch it, but I'm just like, if I want to do it like right now or like that's a lot of work. do I need to rewatch any of the last thing for this to get into this? And then I don't know.
That's what kills me is I almost always go back and rewatch, and the show that really hurt with most of the time was Supernatural. I'd let a couple seasons build up on seasons build up on Netflix and then be like, okay, let's do this. And I'd go back and I wouldn't start always at season one, but I'd start at like, okay, I got to watch 10, 11 and 12. I need to at least go back to season 5 and watch from there forward so I can see where I'm at. Cause that's where things started getting like, we're going to carry stuff from across.
We're going to no more monster of the week. Seasons. We're going to have some arcs that go 3 seasons now.
Right. Yeah. So I'd go back and I'd watch and, you know, like, okay, sure. No problem. That sounds nice and fun, but it's 22 episodes per season at an hour a clip. So yeah, 44 minutes, something like that. But God, eventually you're like, I hate Sam and Dean. I hope nothing but bad things happen to them. And then you watch it and
they deserve nothing good.
Nothing but bad things does happen to them. Okay. This is okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with this. I am on board with this situation. So yeah. So streaming services. We keep talking every week. We try to like bring up if we've watched anything. You've got catching back up on Dark. I'm still watching Harley Quinn. The only new one that I've set.
You could do Snowpiercer.
I do want to investigate Snowpiercer. The only new show that I've set and kind of watched all of is I did make it all the way through Space Force. And I wouldn't even say it was great, but there was enough there to keep me going. I think it's not quite sure what kind of show it wants to be, but there's not I think it would be impossible to make a bad show that has Steve Carell and John Malkovich and then all the other people, that Jimmy O Yang and Ben Schwartzman. Like, I don't think you can put all those people in a room and make a bad TV show. So it's not bad. It's perfectly good. There's a lot of really good things. Lisa Kudrow. I mean, it's really just chock full of people.
I haven't done that one yet. It feels, I guess, you know, kind of where we started. It doesn't feel right now. I don't know why.
I mean, it definitely
when I think about watching it, I'm like, no.
It definitely has some dark moments in it, and it's definitely like over the top, just this side of real. Like, it goes some places that are like, you know, obviously not. So, but it was, I really had a good time with it. So I wouldn't say it was one of the best shows
I've ever seen,
but yeah. it was worth a watch. So check that out if you want something light and fun to watch. But movies still keep coming out. Like, that's nice. I've seen a few movies. I've rented a few movies. But at some point, theaters will open. Maybe, kind of, sort of. Shows keep getting pushed back. So Tenet has made it very clear that they're going to be in a theater. They got pushed back. Wonder Woman got pushed back again. Mm-hmm. What else got? Like, pretty much everything that was a big blockbuster planned for this year or later has been pushed.
And
so
how many of those movies that announced a delay and reshoots at the end of last year are kicking themselves right now? If we had just been quiet about everything, we could have coasted into February or March.
We could have pushed them back. I mean, everyone would have known, like, it's kind of hard with the movies. Some of those movies that big, you can't really hide that you're spending millions of dollars to do reshoots, like that you're calling back all these A-list actors and that kind of taking up sets. Like, it's hard to keep that stuff a secret, but at the same time, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have been that upfront about like why we were pushing our movie back. Just left everything, and we could have pushed it back with no one asking any questions that we didn't want to answer.
We would have looked good, right? Like, oh, look, they want to make sure we see it in the theater instead of on our home screens. How nice of them.
But there's a lot of movies. I mean, I wonder, I'm curious, are we going to end up with a period, we're going to end up with a situation in time where there's just a blockbuster coming out every single weekend for like 3 months at some point, or are we just going to end up in a situation where like everything just gets pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, where we don't get anything new for years because we're still trying to show all the movies that we made over the last year and a half?
No, I think both, right? So one thing that will help some of that is the Oscars deadline. So other news, movie news related. Well, look, we're going to naturally segue here, Iggy. So the Oscars pushed the actual ceremony back to April. So from February to April. So they had last year moved it up, and now they're moving it back because of everything going on. And with that, they've also moved back they've made longer the amount of time that your movie can be shown in to be in the Oscars or to be eligible for a reward. So it used to be through the end of the year. Now it's going to be back into February. So I think that's going to drive stuff. Once the theaters open back up, it's going to be a lot of jockeying for a position on those initial weekends, because I think there's going to be a lot of people who want to take advantage of folks feeling safe enough to go out to the movies. And then a lot of people pushing for, I think we're going to see a very interesting late January, early February movie wise, which is usually a slower period unless Marvel decides to do something crazy and put out Black Panther in February. So usually a slower period, but I think that's going to be real, real busy this, you know, 2021, because people are going to be trying to get in there for those last few Oscar things.
Which is now making me think, I was just thinking about this with the Oscar window being so big. I'm trying to remember about, were there any great movies that came out in the first chunk of the year? And I can't remember because it was only a couple months ago, but it feels like it was 10 years ago.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, so you think about like, oh, well, now there's so much more time for Oscar movies, but like basically there's going to be no movies released from end of March till the beginning of August. Looks like maybe the earliest now, but probably even later than that. So, I mean, that's 5 or 6 months with no movies this year. And they're only adding like 6 or 7 weeks onto the total. So we're going to get a whole Oscar slate of awards for 7 or 8 months worth of movies, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. You're muted.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm just trying to think, did any movies that were big or good come out this year?
That's hard for me to say because
I mean,
that came out for me this year were for
last year,
right? Like Jojo Rabbit and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like the two big movies at the front half of the year, like box office wise were still 1917 and Rise of Skywalker, which were obviously last year. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember movies that were actually in theaters this year.
What about like The Gentlemen? Was that this year? Or was that last year?
I think I'm with you.
It feels like
it was so long
8 years ago already. Yeah.
I think that did.
And again, I'm no help because my movie calendar is all screwed up from being over here instead of over there. I'm sure there's some good movies. There's somebody listening to this right now is like, you two are idiots. You're completely forgetting about
Sonic the Hedgehog came out this year. I remember that.
That's not winning awards.
Birds of Prey came out this year.
I haven't seen it, but probably not winning awards.
Bad Boys for Life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking. Okay, I pulled up the top domestic box office for 2020, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the top 10 did come out this year. Bad Boys for Life, Sonic the Hedgehog, Birds of Prey, Doolittle, which will be winning nothing, The Invisible Man, Call of the Wild. So yeah, there was nothing really that came out. The Gentleman did come out this year. It was January 24th, so just barely.
Okay, there you go. But I don't think that's winning anything. No. I really enjoyed that movie, but I don't think it's winning anything. Probably definitely. Not. None of the things you've said are getting probably even nominated for anything.
And they definitely will not be doing that.
So it's only going to be movies that are launched post COVID that are winning awards, and that's going to be crammed into whenever they open up until whatever it was, that middle date in February, I think it is. I can't remember the date off the top of my head. So that's a crazy thing to think of, right? Essentially, all of the Oscar movies are going to be out within 5-6 months of each other at most.
Yeah. And that was like, Oscar was also announcing, the Oscars for the Academy was announcing a lot of other changes. Like they're going hard on the limit for, like the number of movies for Best Picture is becoming just 10 now. It's no longer at least 5, no more than 10. It's just 10.
I'm really surprised they didn't make it 9. Just because that's what they've been doing.
Yeah. Well, because there's like a threshold that it has to hit. I feel like now there's always going to be that one movie that makes the list. Be like, really? Really? I mean, even now when they did the no more than, I mean, at least 5, but no more than 10. There's every year, there's always at least 1, if not 2 or 3 that make the list. You're like, really? But then there's years where it's like, no, we needed more than 5. So I don't know if there's a good rule for it, but I do think that I understand them wanting to just know, like not be a mystery every year. Like, are we going to get 5? Are we going to get 6? Are we going to get 10? Who knows? We'll find out. Well,
they've got to do, like, if they're trying to plan, I think it probably comes down to planning out the ceremony better.
Right. Is this going to be 7 hours long, or is this going to be 6 hour long?
Right. They show that longer bit for the Best Picture movies. And so they really want to know how long they need to budget the time.
How many of those do we have to do? We're just doing 10 of them. So that's what we're doing. And we're cutting all the songs still, which still super upsets me. Got to make room for those Best Pictures. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I'm curious. I mean, theaters will at some point reopen, whether or not they open in a form that we will recognize. Obviously, some movie theaters have made no comments, like aren't even entertaining the idea. Some other ones are obviously trying to be proactive with it. One of those is one we've talked about a lot, AMC, who was not in the best of financial positions before COVID hit, and COVID has obviously almost destroyed the company. But they released their plan about a week ago for this is what it will look like for going forward as far as capacity, reserving your seats in advance, how far apart you need to sit, all those sorts of things. The thing that I think a lot of people were not super excited about was this: while they would be providing masks and masks would be recommended, masks would not be required in movie theaters. And when pressed on it, the CEO made a comment about basically they didn't want to, quote, get involved in a political controversy, because now wearing a mask to prevent the spread of COVID-19 is a political statement, not a, you know, scientific statement. And obviously, the reaction to that was less than stellar. There was a lot of very upset people. They have since reversed course on that. And when they eventually open, you will be required to wear a mask. So I guess when chalk one up for public outrage, hooray. But I mean, I've definitely seen, we're seeing this more and more, like where some places are like, you will not get helped if you don't wear a mask. And it definitely upsets some people who feel that their rights are in some way being infringed because they have to, you know, protect themselves and others from disease. But what are you going to do? You're perfectly welcome not to wear that mask. You're just not going to do it. You're just not going to be able to not do it in here, but
yeah. Can't do it in AMC now. And you can't do it in Alamo Draft House. They came out and said, hey, yeah, nope, gonna have to wear a mask. Sorry. We care about people, the people who work here. We want to make sure they stay safe. Like, it seems weird to be angry at a company who's trying to protect its employees.
Yeah.
Like, that's a wild thing to me.
I mean, I can tell you as someone who has returned back to work in a limited fashion, it seems wild, but you'd be amazed at how many people are real pissed about it.
Oh, I bet I would be. I'm thankful I can still work remote. Sorry, buddy.
It's all right. I still get to work remote a couple days a week, but 3 to 4 days a week, I have to be in the world. And it was exciting to get out of my house and see other humans for a while, but there are other parts of it that are that I'm not super thrilled about.
Less than excited about, yeah.
Yeah. But one day we will have theaters again and we'll be able to talk about movies again, which
yeah,
we'll have
a lot of Oscar movies to talk about for the next.
We'll be able to talk about box office numbers again, which I know everyone who listens to this podcast has really missed as a topic. Because the amount of time that we can spend nerding out over the minutia of the number of dollars that a certain movie made over the course of a week is, or even the course of a day or of a midnight showing. I mean, I feel like that's some of our highest rated content right there. It's just like, let's talk about these $231 million made versus this $227 made by this one. So
it's a real value add. That's for sure.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I even found a way to bring it up in this episode and we haven't had theaters haven't been open in months.
Haven't been any box office numbers for 7 weeks.
It's true.
Okay, so
I mean, what movie are you holding out for? Like, by God, I will go back to a theater to see this. I am excited for, because like the thought of going into a theater, like we talked about this previously, the thought of going to theater right now, even with all these precautions, is still a little bit. I mean, I'll be honest with you, and this doesn't sound great. It makes me feel the amount of time that I have to spend, quote unquote, in public now due to work. That I'm required to be like around people. It's not bad. The place where I work, we have taken insane amounts of caution around public safety and health and like all that kinds of stuff. At the same time, day in, day out, I'm being exposed to a ton of people. So now I'm almost resigned to the fact. It's like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Like going to a theater now does not scare me as much as it did 3 weeks ago. That said, I'm still not going to go sit elbow to elbow with people in a movie theater. But yeah. Early when we talked about this previously, is like, no, I'll buy a ticket on like a Tuesday. I'll show up, see how many people are in the theater. And if it's too many, I'll just leave. That at this point, I'm like, whatever. When I decide to go to the movie, I'll go to the movie. But what movie are you like, this is the movie that will get me back into a theater?
I mean, honestly, I think it's still Tenet. Of all the stuff that's being announced. And I don't know where, you know, when that is yet still, but Tenet or No Time to Die.
Those are my two exactly. I was waiting to see if you would say that one. It's Bond and Tenet. Like one of those two will get me back in the theater and that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going for Wonder Woman 1984. I enjoyed the first one.
Hadn't been so much turmoil, and if it wasn't just DC hitting their head against the wall every time I turn around, I would be more. If Wonder Woman also, like, the pushback killed them. If it had come out when it was originally slated to come out, and we were still riding the high of how good Wonder Woman is, I would definitely want to see it in theaters. But they've somehow managed to spin all the goodwill into it. Took them a while, but they managed to turn the goodwill around Wonder Woman into like some sort of cautionary tale for the rest of the franchise. So right.
I like how they've spun their wheels on it long enough that now we're having to deal with people being more excited about Zach.
a Zack Snyder cut of a movie.
Snyder's Justice League cut, which he dropped a clip for. Like, people are more excited for that than they are for the sequel to the by far best DC movie that's been put out in the last since The Dark Knight.
Since Christopher Nolan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily there's of all the DC live action movies that have been put out, you know, since the Batman movies, once upon a time, mm-hmm. it's the three Nolan movies and then Patty Jenkins's Wonder Woman and then a pretty big gap before everything else.
Right. It's so far until you get to anything else. And so, but people are more excited about a director's cut to a movie that is awful. It's so bad. And I don't know. And the clip of, you know,
the man Darkseid now.
Zack Snyder put out that is talking about Darkseid. Like, apparently DC did everything backwards. We released two movies that are kind of tangentially related to each other, Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman. I mean, I guess they kind of lead to a Justice League, weirdly.
Kind of, sort of, maybe.
Right? I mean, they shoehorn in everybody else. But we jump right into Justice League and we jump right into the biggest character, like the biggest villain. We're not warming everybody up with anybody else. We're going straight to Darkseid, straight to the guy who can end the world altogether, no problem. Okay, sure. Why not? Let's do it, I guess. Who knows?
Yeah, that was the one thing about... That's the one thing I will say about the DC movies that... And people complain... People, like, one of the biggest complaints that people have about the Marvel Universe is, with few exceptions, they have unengaging villains. Like obviously outside of like Loki was amazing. And then some of the other ones in it, depending on the episode, depending on the movie, some of the villains are way better than others. There are DC movies that I could I have to stop and think for a second to remember, like, was there even a DC villain in it? So like Man of Steel obviously has Zod kind of, but like it's more an origin, like, whatever. So we've got Zod. Then Batman versus
Superman's also kind of the bad guy in that, because
Superman's also kind of the bad guy.
Then you don't get Batman versus Superman, right?
Exactly. He does about a lot of bad things, and it's less about Zod for the first half of the movie than it is just like, here's Superman's fucked up backstory and here's Lois Lane trying to find him. Like,
here's Lois Lane.
And here's Superman fighting like natural disasters as the villains. Like, here's him, right, you know, saving a kid from a flood and fighting an oil spill kind of thing. And then Batman v Superman, the villain's Lex, but not really. But then it's Batman v Superman, but then it's Doomsday. Like, we literally pulled Doomsday out.
And
episode two.
Right.
Oh yeah, the guy who killed Superman in the comic books, fucking bring him in and have him kill Superman in this movie.
Let's do this.
Okay, we're in it to win it. And then we get to Justice League and the villain is Steppenwolf, a character that no one who's not a big DC comic book fan knows anything about. Most people are like, you mean like the band? So
right, but if Snyder gets his way, it looks like that villain, you know, you Doomsday and then back it right up with freaking Darkseid. Like, it seems like too much. It's the nuclear option right away. Yeah. You got nothing to fall back to. Who's the next villain you bring in?
Yeah, you can't go back to Calendar Man now.
Right, exactly. We've gone too far.
We've gone too fast. You can barely even like the Batman. They're talking like the Batman's coming, and they're going to have possibly a Riddler and a Penguin and some other thugs. And it's like, bitch, Batman just got done saving the world from Apocalypse. Like, you don't need to. I don't think anyone cares if he could stop, you know, Victor Zsasz and Calendar Man this weekend. King Shark is doing some things somewhere, and I think Dr. Psycho might show up, so. Right.
Yeah. So, yes, people are more excited about the Snyder Cut than they are about Wonder Woman 1984, which, my, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Wonder Woman did Ares, but it was like a big, sort of a big reveal, Ares. But Ares has always been kind of her big bad, so like that worked. That's like bringing the Joker out in the first episode of Batman. Like, I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah, and drop in Red Skull for Captain America in the first Avenger, like right away, like
long, sure, long-term villains that like stick around. That's a different Ares is works. Like if it mostly been Lex Luthor in one of the Batman and the Superman ones, but you've managed in two movies to get Lex Luthor and Doomsday, and now Darkseid apparently. So I don't know. God, I almost feel bad about how much we shit talk on DC almost, but they make it so easy.
They bring this on themselves. They really, really do. They really, really do. It's not our fault.
They make it hard for us not to poke fun. So I don't know. What else is going on? I'm trying to think anything else. We talked about video games, kind of. We talked about streaming. We talked about movies. I don't know what's else going on. What is something good and wholesome that's going on in the world right now? Anything you've watched or done or been, and it's like, yeah, this is a cool thing. I'll tell you one thing I've enjoyed. Have you watched Josh Gad's new YouTube television, or YouTube series?
No, I haven't, no.
Are you familiar with it?
I'm not familiar with it. I'm familiar with Josh Gad.
Okay, so Josh Gad has been doing a show on... He's actually in two things right now. One, he's in a new streaming show. I said I haven't really watched anything new. I did start watching Central Park on Apple TV Plus, which is made by the same people as Bob's Burgers, so similar animation style, but it's a musical. It is a musical cartoon set in Central Park, and it's really fun. So watch that. Josh Gad's in it. But he has a YouTube show that he's been doing called Reunited Apart. And it's basically just him getting people from famous franchises onto Zoom calls. So far he's done five of them. The first one they did was the Goonies. And it's just it's a Zoom call, and it has Sean Astin, Josh Brolin, Corey Feldman, Martha Plimpton, Chris Columbus, Richard Donner, Steven Spielberg, and Cyndi Lauper show up. Like, there's just all these people on a Zoom call and him asking them questions about it. Then they did Back to the Future. God damn it. And Back to the Future was literally just Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox shooting the shit for a while, and then some other people popping in from the show.
Amazing.
And then they did Splash.
They get Tom Hanks on there?
They got Tom Hanks.
Daryl Hannah?
They got Daryl Hannah. They got Ron Eugene Howard. Levy? They got Eugene Levy.
Oh, my gosh.
Ryan Reynolds showed up for some reason. Lowell Gans, Brian Glazer. And then...
I'm surprised how many people I remember from being in Splash.
Yeah. They did... The most recent one they did was Ghostbusters. And they got Bill... They got Sigourney, they got Dan, they got Ernie, Annie Potts showed up, and then Ivan and Jason Reitman were on it, because obviously Ivan did the first, Jason's doing the new one.
Right.
And then the best one, though, so far, which is kind of sad because they read a message from him, from an actor who couldn't make it. They did Lord of the Rings, and they got Sean, they got Elijah, they got Billy, they got Dominic. They got Carl, they got Miranda, they got John Rhys Davies, they got Orlando, they got they got Sean Bean, they got Ian, they got Vigo, they got Liv Tyler, they got is that everyone? I feel like is there anyone I didn't list that made it? Oh, they got Howard Shore was on it to talk about the music. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Peter Jackson was there. Mm-hmm. Why can't I think of his name? Gollum and King Kong and
Andy Serkis?
Andy Serkis was on it, obviously. And Taika Waititi for some reason, I think just from being from New Zealand. And then
why not?
But then they also read a message from Ian Holm, who couldn't be on it, but he wrote a letter and they read a letter from him. And I bring this one up last because if you're not aware, Ian Holm died this last week, and it's super sad. But anyway, if you have some time to kill, they're each about 50 minutes to an hour long, and it's just awkward Zoom cascades. It's just like a Zoom call, like on a window, mm-hmm. with 15 different windows of everyone sitting in their living rooms talking about that time they made Lord of the Rings 20 years ago.
Amazing.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Ian Holm, that guy's in some big movies.
I mean, he's
like when you stop and you think about the franchises and things he's been part of, you're like, holy crap.
I mean, he's in two movies that I would count among my, like, two of my, like, favorite movies of all time / like franchises that I, you know, care a great deal about. And specifically, he's in Lord of the Rings and he's in Alien.
Yeah.
So like those two alone, he's already like a million points ahead of like everything. Like those two are very important to me. Mm-hmm. Then you add in that he did like Brazil and like Time Bandits. Mm-hmm. So like I love pretty much all things Terry Gilliam, and he did those. Yep. Mm-hmm. Then you add in like all the Shakespeare and stuff he did, which I'm a fan of. And then you start throwing in like movies that I just love, like Fifth Element.
Fifth He's Element,
a huge yeah. role in that,
right? Yeah.
You talk about Big Night, one of like a huge movie. Oh yeah, he's in that too. And then just all the like random stuff, like that one his character in Lord of War, which is just like. He's in it for like three scenes, and he's fucking amazing in it. He plays Zach Braff's dad in Zach Braff's the Garden State.
Garden State,
like,
yeah.
Like randomly, like I've always been a huge Ian Holm fan, and it was super sad that he is gone. So
yes, it is.
I'm trying to think of what else is he in that's like big. I mean, Alien. If he had just done Lord of the Rings and Alien, he's, you know.
Right, I mean,
cemented in pop culture and, you know, cinema lore forever. But
right, because you get like
Ash is one of the greatest characters.
Right, he is pivotal for there to be an Alien franchise. Without his character, everything else is different, and he plays it so freaking good. Because, you know, yeah, I mean, it's so ridiculous, and we can talk about it. Right? There's no spoilers for Alien. Everybody,
I think we can talk about that. He is an alien. I mean, he is a robot.
He's a synthetic, yeah.
And he knows what's going on the whole time and is keeping it from people.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. But like when you watch it and you don't know that to begin with, he plays it so well because there's something doesn't quite feel right about him the whole time. But it's never obvious that he's a robot until you watch it and you know, and then you go back and you watch it again and you're like,
oh God, he played this so well.
Oh yeah. This is exactly what a really, really well-built robot who is programmed to act human would be like, right?
Yeah. And he has so many just iconic scenes and lines. Like no one will ever, like the best line in the entire movie will always be, I can't lie to you about your chances, but you have my sympathies. Like the yeah. delivery of that line is just like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think his Bilbo is so good.
So good.
Like, I mean, it is so good. He, just the way he plays things and played them was fantastic. So, yes, he will definitely be missed. But, I mean, you know, this isn't one of those ones that's, like, terribly shocking. I mean, he was pretty old, right?
88, I believe.
Yeah, I mean that's a good full life.
Yeah. Still super sad. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at I'm going to his discovery now, and there's still multiple movies popping up that I'm like, I forget. I'm like, oh, he was in that. He was really good in it, because he was never not good in things, just in case anyone's wondering. Is he in Gandhi? I'm trying to think.
I don't know why I'm I can't remember.
That I just remember, because it's the version we watched multiple times, is he did a lot of Hamlet, obviously on the stage and in theater, mm-hmm. and on the screen, but he is Polonius in the Mel Gibson Hamlet.
Oh yeah.
So like that's the Hamlet that most people have seen, is the Mel Gibson one where Helena Bonham Helena Bonham Carter is Ophelia, and like Glenn Close is Queen Gertrude, and there's right. a bunch of people in it, but that's like kind of the one that people think of, and he's really good as Polonius. And Polonius has a really good Shakespeare lines. If you're not familiar with Hamlet, he has like a lot of what's the word I want to use for a lot of the like parts of Hamlet that have become sayings in normal day culture are all Polonius lines.
Right.
Because he has this, not a soliloquy, but he has this scene where he's basically talking to his son Laertes and giving him advice. Like he's going to his son is going off to college, and he's giving him basically advice on like, here's how to like be good at things. And a lot of the stuff he tells him, like all the like, to thine own self be true is Polonius.
Right.
Neither borrow or lender be, that's Polonius. The brevity of soul is wit, that's Polonius.
Mm-hmm.
Old friends are the best friend, like all that stuff is Polonius. And it's really funny that like there's this one character who's kind of a side character in a famous play. Like Hamlet's not is one of the big ones, but like there's a lot of lines said by this one side character who's the dad of like another character who's like who are the lines that everyone knows. Like even if you don't know Shakespeare, you know to thine own self be true, you know that kind of stuff, which always makes me laugh. So I don't know what made me think of that. I just remember him. He's really memorable as Polonius in Hamlet, starring Mel Gibson as Hamlet. Mel Gibson's not great as Hamlet, in case anyone's ever seen the movie. It reminds me a lot of my favorite Shakespeare play of all time will always be Much Ado About Nothing, and Kenneth Branagh made a really good movie adaptation of it. But there's a couple people in it who really aren't cut out for Shakespeare, notably one of them being Keanu Reeves as Don John is not good. I mean, he's playing the villain for as much as there is a villain in the Shakespeare comedies, he plays the villain, and some of his line deliveries kind of work, but most of them don't. Some surprising people are quite good at Shakespeare. Michael Keaton plays Dogberry, who's like the comic relief, almost like clown character in Much Ado About Nothing, who's like the constable, and he's brilliant in it. If you're a Shakespeare fan at all, or just like, you know, good movie, like plays made in movies, sometime look up Much Ado About Nothing as directed by Kenneth Branagh. Kenneth Branagh plays Benedict. Emma Thompson plays Benedict and plays Beatrice, so they're both amazing in it. There's a Denzel Washington is it. He plays Don Pedro. He's actually pretty good in it. He's not like great, but I mean, Denzel was like a stage guy, like he's done theater, like so like not everyone can do Shakespeare, but it works for him. But I love that movie. I love Much Ado About Nothing, so it's hard for me not to like it, but it's fantastic.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of adaptations of Much Ado About Nothing. I really like Joss Whedon's weird black and white one that he did too, that at like his house one weekend between like Avengers and Avengers coming out.
Right, with all the people. So he's got like Clark Gregg and like everybody else.
Yeah, Clark Gregg plays not Don Pedro, but he plays the guy whose house that Don Pedro comes to. And then what's his name? Alexis Denisoff, who if you're familiar with like Buffy and stuff, played Wesley, is Benedict.
Right.
And I can't think of her name, but she's Fred in Angel, and she was also in some of the shows. She plays Beatrice, and the Dogberry, like the incompetent constable, is played by everyone's favorite Captain Mal.
Yeah.
So he plays Dogberry, and he's hilarious in it. So I really like Much Ado About Nothing. If anyone's not aware of that, we have made that clear.
Good
yet.
Tell. Yeah,
my favorite Shakespeare movie.
I think we've talked about that before. Yes,
I do much wonder what that a man. Yeah, it's a fantastic film. All right, that's probably Shakespeare's good. That's still a thing in the world that's good. Go grab a Shakespeare play and read that. That'll make you happy.
Right, some of them, several. Not
stick
all
to
of
the
them.
Comedies. Stick to the comedies.
Don't pick up Macbeth. You're not going to be happy with your world.
Just stick to the comedies. Much Ado About Nothing. That's a fun read. Go grab Twelfth Night, The Merry Wives of Windsor, Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah, I was going to go with Taming of the Shrew. I like that one.
Yeah.
And then watch 10 Things I Hate About You.
Read Taming of the Shrew. Yeah, read Taming of the Shrew and then watch 10 Things I Hate About You. It'll work. There's a really interesting, was it Liz Taylor that did? There's a Taming of the Shrew movie that was done in like the 60s.
Yeah, it's her and Richard Burton, right?
It's Richard Burton. That's right. Richard Burton plays, yeah. And she, yeah, that's actually kind of good. Watch
that's
that.
That's a good one. That's the one I watched in high school, I
in
think.
In school?
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard Burton, and it's actually, yeah, it's actually a really good adaptation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And 10 Things I Hate About You is not a bad adaptation by any stretch of the imagination, but obviously it cuts a lot of stuff out, but it's fun.
Well, I mean, you can't bring all of it into the 20th century.
There was another, what one showed up on my streaming list the other day that's a bad, do you remember She's the Man with staring with Amanda Bynes and
yeah. Is that the one where she plays soccer?
Yeah.
But so she has to pretend to be a guy for some reason.
She wants to play on the boys' team because she thinks she's better and they won't let her. So her brother like leaves town. So she pretends to be her twin brother.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So for those who aren't familiar with it, they use a bunch of names. Like it's a very, 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 very loose adaptation of Twelfth Night, which is another Shakespeare comedy, where a brother and a sister basically switch places, and then the brother falls in love. The girl dressed up as a guy falls in love with the Duke, who's actually in love with this other woman. And so she uses the girl who's dressed as a guy, who's like his best friend. They become best friends. He's like, you got to help me win this girl over. And while attempting to win the girl over, who's like this other noble person, the woman. So there's so much going on in this. It's a typical Shakespearean farce where it's all mistaken identity. Like it literally, Everything in a Shakespeare comedy could be cleared up in 15 seconds if someone just stopped and says, wait, this is this person. You were mistaken. This guy actually was that, not that person. And they're trying to all trick you. Like it's all people like get mad when it's like you watch comedies today and they're like, none of this would even work out if one character would just let themselves explain themselves for like 5 seconds, all of this would be cleared up. Like I hate that trope. Like that trope's never going anywhere. Like that was a trope before Shakespeare, and Shakespeare used it over and over again. It's always
welcome to comedic writing
101.
Eternium,
right. Mistaken identities are 100% the basis, and like misunderstandings are the basis of all comedy. Anyway, so Duke Orsino. Girl washes up, dresses up as her twin brother, enters the Duke's service. Duke tries to use this guy, who's actually a girl, to help him woo this other woman. The woman falls in love with the girl dressed as a guy. Meanwhile, the girl dressed as a guy is falling in love with the Duke. It gets really complicated. And in the end, the twin brother, who we thought was lost at sea, shows back up and just magically, like, oh, that guy you fell in love with was actually a woman, but here's her twin brother that kind of looks like her without the wig.
Right.
You guys are together now.
Everybody's still in love with everything.
And everyone's still in love with everyone. I will say Twelfth Night is not one of my favorite plays because it does get a little too on the nose with some of that stuff, but it has some really good characters, specifically Sir Toby Belch, fantastic character, and the clown character in that one, who in the movie version of it is played by Ben Kingsley, is Festa, is fantastic. There's a really good movie version of Twelfth Night 2 with Helena Bonham Carter as, I can't think of the woman who's Duke Orsino's trying to woo. I should probably look it up. But anyway, it's got Ben Kingsley, it's got Helena Bonham Carter. There's a movie version of it. It's fantastic. So everyone should get more Shakespeare in their lives. I didn't think that this was where this podcast was going to go before we signed off, but Shakespeare's really good and you should watch more of it.
There's worse things to do, that's for sure.
It's true. But yeah, we should probably stop now before we get really in the weeds here.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to talk about iambic pentameter and the sonnets a little bit.
I was going to say that would never happen. We'd never get in the weeds.
This is one of the more random ones, but yeah, watch more Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get yourself some culture. You got nothing better to do. You're just sitting at home.
Yeah. Please. I'm going to second this. So we didn't have a chance to get over to the rebuilt globe to watch Shakespeare before everything kind of went crazy. And now that nobody's been able to go there for a while, they're in danger of, you know, having to close and not reopen. Like close, not just not be open. So I need you guys to show a renewed interest in Shakespeare so that the rebuilt globe on the South Bank of the Thames will stay open so I can go see a Shakespeare play there, please.
And if you're ever in London, make it a point to go see it because it's amazing. Like,
yeah,
it's not where the Globe actually was. Where the Globe actually was is like a car park now, but they rebuilt as close to possible the globe, and you can go and see it, and it's the hole with the stage and the heavens and the seating, and it's really cool. And there's a cool museum you can go see, and it's really awesome. Right. And then
it's hundreds of years old where you might die, so that's also good.
It's really cool. It was one of the highlights of my trip to London. I will say that for sure.
Your next highlight's going to be the malt shovel, buddy. Trust me.
Really?
You'll love it. It's great. I'm excited. Come on out.
Maybe we should wrap it up. Anything else? Anything else going on in your life, Adam? Anything else the people needs to know about?
No, man. Play some video games. There's some good stuff. Obviously, you got all the release information about the, well, not all the release information, but launch titles for the PlayStation 5 also out. Lots of good stuff there. Most importantly, a remake of Demon's Souls will be launching with the PS5. Very excited. Got so excited about that, hooked up my PS3, replayed through Demon's Souls because why not? I feel like breaking a PlayStation 3 controller. So very good stuff. Play some video games, Demon's people. Souls have some fun.
Demon's Souls is an interesting one to replay because we've all obviously played all the Dark Souls, and I owned all of them. Like, I owned Demon's Souls, I owned the Dark Souls. So, like, I felt like I remembered how hard that one was. And then you're like, man, Demon's Souls is really hard. And all the Demon's Souls are really hard. And then you go back, or sorry, all the Dark Souls are really hard. And then you go back and play Demon's Souls. You're like, oh, no. Demon's Souls was the hard one.
Right. This is actually hard. Well, and then I get really frustrated because my wife and I both play, and I always play I forget what they call it, a quality build. So strength X combo. And she'll play like straight warrior mage, and you get the crescent weapons, and Demon Souls are just crazy overpowered because they stack so well on your magic. And so she gets this, you know, regular sword that's crescent that does more damage than my like +5 quality bastard sword with like giant strength and dex stats, and she's outclassing me as just a straight warrior, let alone when she starts casting her magic. Like, it's so ridiculous for her, until like right towards the end all of the bosses become like harder to kill with magic, and I just crush through them, and she's like, this is stupid, I hate this game. Like, you've had it way easier for me this whole time. I get like 4 kills that are harder, they're easier for me than they are for you.
It's true.
Yeah, so play some video games, check out some PS5 stuff. It looks good.
My message to everyone apparently is, you know, read some Shakespeare, get some Shakespeare in your life. I didn't think we were going to get there, but that's apparently where we're at right now. Read some books, read some Shakespeare, or watch some Shakespeare, or listen to it. There's some great radio plays.
Yeah, lots of good options
done over the years. I mean, the nice thing about Shakespeare is there is a million different adaptations of just about every one of the plays that you can watch at some point. So pick one up. Other than that, that's just about it for us. We want to always, as always, thank our guests. I thank our sponsors, geekgrudge.com, for sponsoring the Nerdcast, geek-grudge.com, best place to get all of your geeky and Hollywood replica card needs. They've been doing a lot of really cool stuff during the pandemic, with some, what did we call them again? Parades, some car parades.
They call them, car parades, hero parades, those kind of things, right?
As long as we don't call them the drive-bys. Yeah, go check it out. And at some point, we will have conventions again, and they will be there, and it'll be dope. So keep an eye on geekgrudge.com. If that's it, this is us signing off. This has been one episode of the TNA show, Project Nerd, the Nerdcast, whatever you want to call
it. Episode 231.
We'll see y'all, guys. We'll hear you. We won't see you. We won't hear you. You'll hear us next time, I guess. Take it easy.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.